they'll be sharing with you about the anointing. There are so many people who are equipped with God's power, and yet they are failing. It's completely impossible in Scripture to be equipped by God's Spirit and fail. Are you here? Am I speaking to you? My father told me a very interesting story. He said, when they were doing training in the military, they were given guns, and they were told when the enemy comes, shoot back. And they were all left in the bush. And as the first time, their first training, you have just joined the military, and it's your first training. So they were put on positions, different positions. Say, you be there, you be there, you be there. And they were given guns. 10 minutes later, they do simulations where they actually plan, like, if it would happen in the actual field, it would happen in this way. So somebody came and began to shoot the direction. Of course, they use rubber bullets, not live bullets. And when all of them, the whole team, they were just recruits, when they wanted to shoot, all their guns couldn't shoot. Until the enemy came, one enemy, and they captured the 10 of them as prisoners of war. And when they were asked the question, why didn't you shoot the enemy? They said the guns couldn't shoot. And they were told, did you check the magazines? Are there bullets? When they checked, there was no bullet. So they were given guns without bullets. And all they were thinking, these guns are what? Are loaded. Sometimes what we think is not what is happening actually. You may have so much confidence that can destroy you. There are so many people who think so highly than they ought to think. How you relax in prayer, in equipping yourself with the anointing, sometimes it's so scary. Say with me, the anointing. Say again, say the anointing. Now, tonight I want to share with you why on other people the anointing works and on others the anointing doesn't. The anointing I'm talking about, when most people hear the word anointing, they think about a man of God and God using the man of God. That's not the meaning of anointing. 80% of men and women of God in the Bible, we are not pulpit people who God used with the anointing. The anointing was demonstrated through leadership in Scripture. The anointing was demonstrated through wisdom in Scripture. The anointing was demonstrated through problem solving, value creation, impact, community impact, not just pulpit. There are very few people, just 20% of men and women of God, who God was using them in the pulpit is saying, repent your sins. The rest, it was governance. It was business. It was leadership. It was problem solving. So this thing where most of you think the anointing is just for pulpit, it has to be eradicated. The anointing is not for pulpit. The anointing, it is for problem solving. Am I talking to you? Let me share something with you that is very, very important. I used to hear. Are you still following? Let me share something with you that is extremely important. You must understand that anointing, it is a seal of the Spirit. What God puts on you to give you capacity. a supernatural enabler. You are able to do certain things that you cannot achieve in the natural, because on you, there is something to give you access and capacity beyond your natural means. Meaning to say, if you have an idea to do something, whether it is a business, whether it is something else, it means you are advantaged, because you are at a place of clarity. You are at a place of capacity, and you have a supernatural enabler. What can give you ability and advantage to achieve and accomplish that which in the natural realm cannot be done? Therefore, to be failing when the anointing is in you, it is a complete insult before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The biggest problem we have believers who have got guns and they don't even know whether they are bullets or not. How many people are struggling, yet the Spirit of God, the anointing is in them? So many people. You can die when the anointing is in you. Anyone with Christ, the word Christ to start with, it is the word Christoris, which means the anointed. Jesus never became Christ until he was anointed. He is called Jesus Christ. Christ is not a surname. It is a responsibility, the anointing. Whenever you hear, in the name of Jesus Christ, most of you just say it. Jesus Christ, come out, Jesus Christ. The word Christ is the anointing. Whenever you are mentioning Jesus Christ, the word Christ, you are saying the anointing. I'm not talking to you. So what the devil fears is that Christ, the anointing, Jesus Christ. Whenever you mention Christ, the devil trembles, because the devil knows what the anointing can do. So when you receive Jesus, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. The anointing. Say, I have the anointing. Say it again. Say, I have the anointing. Now, when you have the anointing, you are not bound to fail. But there are things that can block that anointing in you. It is when you have got a zeal or a willingness, but your mind has not have enough capacity to contain the anointing. Because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, the Spirit you received is the Spirit without measure. We have no limit. We are allowed to think as much as we want. And we are allowed to believe as much as we want. And whatsoever we believe, it can happen, because we have the Spirit without limit. Now imagine, I have got an advisor who has got a spirit of limits. And I was sharing this area. I said, there are so many of you who you have got people you involve with the spirit of limitations. And you want to tell them what you want to do. They end up discouraging you, because on them, there's a spirit of limits. Scripture says, we have the spirit without what? Measure. You can't measure what I carry. Am I talking to you? Now, I was sharing area that the anointing, I want you to see what happens. The anointing, when the anointing comes upon you, the anointing can work in your subconsciousness. But for you to work in the anointing, you must have consciousness. The anointing can work on you when you don't even know. But for you to use the same anointing, you must know that you have the anointing. So we are going to see some people in the Bible who didn't even know the anointing was on them or with them. And we're going to see people in the Bible who knew they had the anointing. Now, that project of yours, we have cast it, we have prayed, we have fasted, we have done everything, we have done everything. It's time to use the anointing now and to start to make things happen. You see, the problem is, even you are received, you use. There are people who can discourage you. I'm not talking to you. Somebody says, I'm going far. So wherever I was discouraged, I am picking up myself. Who told you? You know, we have got women and men who are 70 years and have given up their dreams. The life of Abraham began at 75. Amen. That's when God appeared to him and said, Abraham, I'm making a promise to you. At 75, I will make you great. You'll be a great man. At 75. The man was becoming a billionaire at the age of 80. The Bible says he was rich in silver, in gold, in livestock. He was rich in all that at 80. And what was somebody right now at 65 is like, no, I think I have given up. I don't think I will go far. Lack of anointing. Anointing is the capacity. You have no limits. Somebody say this year. Our beautiful houses. Now, this is just me putting four. You can actually put it in. What most people are lacking is capacity. The capacity, because the spirit, the anointing, has no limits. And the Bible says the spirit. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 to 28. Can you read it?
But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you.
Now, where is the anointing?
In me.
Now, I want everybody to ask this. Where is the Bible saying the anointing is right now?
Inside.
The anointing abides in you. Okay?
And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
Now read NIV, the same verse 27.
As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming.
Did you hear that? Some people, when Jesus will be coming, they'll be very ashamed. They'll have nothing to show. Yeah, you didn't hear me. They'll have what? Nothing to show. Some people will be very confident. And Jesus said to some people, we are given the same talents, and some benefited and some did not. What was that parable about? He said some, by the same talents, benefited and multiplied and became great, and some did not. They just took it and kept it. So we have people with anointing just sitting in them, and we have people using the anointing like some of us. I can never fail. Say, I can never fail. Look at your documents. Hear that report. The doctor said, push up your hand over there and say, in the name of Jesus, not me. That type of confidence, which the Bible is saying there, that we may have confidence. That confidence we're talking about. So scripture says, by the anointing that you have received, abides in you. We are not asking for the anointing. The anointing is in you. The anointing lives in you. Am I talking to somebody here? Now, listen to this. Say with me, I have the anointing in me.
I have the anointing in me.
The day you will know what God gave you, I'll show you just now. I'll show you. Now, let's go to the book of John. Okay? Now, we're going to read chapter 3, verse 34, Amplified Version.
For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, proclaiming the Father's own message. For God gives the gift of the Spirit without measure, generously and boundlessly.
I want you to hear that word. For he who God has sent speaks the words of God, proclaiming the Father's own message. For God gives the gift of the Spirit
without measure.
Without measure. Generously and boundlessly. There's no boundary, no limits. But how many people are saying, I'm limited, Papa? Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Whenever I start and I hit, it's like there is something I hit. Things will start properly, then some way I will just be blocked somewhere. What is it? What is the blocking over there? Say with me, I have the Spirit. I have the Spirit. Say, that will never happen again. Oh my God, I want to hear you say it with confidence. That will never happen again. So you may have the Spirit, you may have the anointing, but the anointing may not work for you. I give an example. Number one, David, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, can you read it? When the Spirit, when the anointing came upon David, the anointing was abiding upon David forever. Can you read it?
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah.
When the anointing was upon him, in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Did you hear the word, in the midst of his brothers?
Yes.
Now, the brothers were there. Did they see this Spirit coming upon him? No, they didn't. If they did, they could not have doubted when he said, I'll kill Goliath. The first opposition that he faced was from the brothers. They said, who do you think you are? Because they never saw the Spirit coming upon David. That's unfortunate. This is why your own people, your own family members, they don't believe you because they don't see the anointing on you. I'm not talking to somebody here. Now, this is what discourages many. Because when you have the anointing, nobody sees the anointing. Nobody knows it. That's why people can mock you when you have the anointing. That's why they crucified Jesus. Because they couldn't see the anointing. When you have the anointing, your face remains the same way it was before you were anointed. Your height doesn't change. You look like you have no power. Yet, you carry the dynamite. Some very dangerous. Amen. But failure to recognize what you carry is a failure to use it. Because the anointing only works when you understand what's happening. The anointing can be on you without you knowing. But for that anointing to work, you have to know. Am I speaking to you? Am I speaking to you? Imagine you are sleeping at night. All of a sudden, you are having an attack. Whether it's a pain or sickness or whatsoever. And then you are scared. Immediately you are scared. Just that fear. Already you have blocked the anointing, because the anointing does not work in fear. The Bible says, for the Spirit we have received is not the spirit of bondage to fear again, but it is the Spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. So when the moment you're scared, like, oh my God, hey, you are panicking, already the anointing is out. That's why God never worked a miracle when people were panicking. He said, be still and know I am the Lord. When you begin to realize how powerful God is, the anointing would work for you. We have people in church who are wondering, years are passing, Papa, I have a prophecy. Papa, I have been fasting. I've been praying. My life is still the same. Hey, nothing is changing. Watch yourself. Because you could be the biggest block, a blockage of what God wants to do. Yourself. Say with me, I can never fail.
I can never fail.
Say, this year,
I am buying my dream house.
I am building my dream house. My projects will happen.
Say, any disease in my family is healed. Any demonic attack is defeated. I am anointed. Every project will happen. Every payment will take place. Say, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost that gives me capacity. David had the anointing upon him in the front of his brothers, but the brothers never saw the anointing. What they saw upon him was the oil a prophet was putting on his head, but they didn't see the Spirit of God coming upon David. David was heavily anointed, but the anointing came upon him. Another man that was highly anointing, he had the anointing with him. Can we go ahead? Let's go to the book of Exodus. I want you to see something that is very important here. Chapter 34, verse 29.
Now it was so, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him.
So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Can you imagine that himself, he didn't even know? He's coming from the mountain, Moses. He's coming from the mountain. He has no clue. And he's going to people like, hey, Aaron. He's calling for people. People are like, we can't look at you. The face was shining, radiant. Himself didn't even know. There are things demons see on you that you yourself you don't even know. There are things people see on an anointed person that yourself you don't even know. Some of you white people are fighting at you. You have no clue. You are at work. People just fighting you. There are things they see on you that yourself you don't even see. Say with me, I have the anointing. I've told you the anointing is the capacity. The anointing, it is the workability. The anointing is what gives you the supernatural energy to achieve and do what the physical abilities would never have done. So when you say you are anointed, you don't mean just the spirit is on your head. No, you are saying you have capacity beyond ability. Somebody say with me, I have capacity beyond ability. Now, why did God give David anointing? Because God saw there were battles ahead. Why did God give David anointing? Because God knew there were Goliaths ahead. Why did God give him anointing? Because God knew there was a kingdom he has to lead ahead of him. So God will never give you the spirit without a responsibility. God sees your family. He knows how people are struggling in your family. He knows how your church, your ministry needs somebody with capacity in order to build the ability that the church is looking for. But for that to happen, we need people who are anointed. Not just anointed, but people who realizes and recognizes and honors the anointing in them. When that happens, we'll begin to see testimonies in church. People say, Papa, by the anointing, I have achieved this. Papa, by the anointing. Because what makes people fail, it is when they begin to do things by their own personal ability. That's where you begin to hit the wall. You try this, it doesn't move. You try this, it doesn't work. You try this, and then the devil begins to give you question marks. Like you see now, it's not happening. Then the anointing stops working. You must understand this. When the woman who took the oil and she began to pour in vessels at the word of a prophet, the Bible says when she was pouring this vessel, the vessel was full. She put aside. When she poured another vessel, it was full. She put aside. And when she poured the other, until all the vessels were full, when she stopped pouring, the oil also stopped flowing. There are things that happen when you stop pouring. The flow also stops. The flow of the anointing also stops. That's why we keep on pouring. The more you exercise your faith, the more you keep on releasing the anointing, the more the anointing is released. When you stop, the anointing also stops.
Am I speaking to you? And number one, David. Two, Moses. Moses, David, the spirit came upon him. He didn't even realize it. Nobody saw it. In front of the brothers, no brother saw it. Moses, he's at the prayer mountain. The anointing came upon him. He didn't even realize it. He comes to the village. Everybody's running away. He said, we can't look at you. How many of you have the anointing and don't even know? And this is why you are so discouraged. This is why you are scared. And this is why you are afraid that project may not happen. Or you may not fulfill. Or you may not achieve. Or you may die. Or this may happen. Because you don't know what is upon you. David realized, I have the anointing on me, which your brothers are not seeing. He said, that Goliath, I'm going to kill him. Because on me, I have the anointing. Am I talking to someone right here? Moses didn't even realize. God gave him the anointing. In those days of Moses, the anointing was coming in the form of substances, objects. God gave him the anointing, and the anointing was a stick. He had a stick in his hand, and that is stranded. Everyone was crying, yet Moses had the anointing in his hand. He went to God, Father, why did you bring us here? Did you bring us here to die here? God said, Moses, what is in your hand? He said, a stick. God said, that's it. Why did I give you the stick? God said, raise that stick. Raise your hand over the water. When he raised up his hand, the Bible says the sea split. It was not God who did it. What was in his hand did it. Do you know so many of you have the anointing in you, but you are crying? God gave Moses the anointing, the rod, but he was stranded. How many today, they are stranded, yet they have the anointing? Say with me, I will never be stranded again. Say it again. Say, I will never be stranded again. Moses was stranded. I'm telling you, stranded. Soldiers were coming. Everybody was coming. People were crying. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Yet the man had a rod in his hand. When God came down, God said, Moses, don't disturb me. I have a lot of things to do. What is in your hand? He said, the rod. What is in your hand? You. It's the anointing. God says, so what happened, Moses? Why can't you use what I gave you? And meanwhile, Moses is looking for God to come down, Father, Lord. He's praying to God, yet a solution is in his hand. How many today are fasting and are praying, asking God to come and intervene, yet the anointing is upon them? King Saul and all the soldiers were in a tent, scared of Goliath. Yet the anointing was on King Saul. King Saul was anointed by the same prophet Samuel, who also anointed David. They had the same prophet who anointed them. Yet one was in a tent scared. One said, I have the anointing on me. Somebody said, I have the anointing on me. He said, you, today, you Goliath, I'm killing you. The confidence. Are you here? Another person who had the anointing was Elijah. Now watch this. In 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 8.
Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground.
Did you hear that word? What did he do? He took his mantle. There was no prayer. He used the anointing he had. So many people are dying in debts, in difficulties, in problems, yet the anointing is in them. The devil even laughs at them to say, look at this guy. Say, I have the anointing in me. Say, I rebuke the enemy. What did Jesus Christ mean when he said, I give you power? He said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. He said, but I give you power. Power for what? Then what is it for? He said, I give you power. He said, do not go anywhere. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes. You shall receive power. Even Jesus understands you cannot do it with an anointing. Now we have the anointing. You have the anointing. Trust you me. Whether you don't believe it, I'm a prophet, I'm telling you. If you're watching me now, the anointing is in you. Say, I have the anointing.
I have the anointing.
My God, say it again. I have the anointing.
I have the anointing.
In Luke 3, verse 22, we also see Jesus. He never began ministry until something happened. And he waited for the anointing to come upon him officially. Now read the scripture.
And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved son. In you I'm well pleased."
When the anointing came upon Jesus, what did he say? What did Jesus Christ say in Luke 4:18? What does he say then?
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Now see what will happen.
Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
The reason the anointing came upon Jesus, it had responsibilities. The anointing of God is upon me. Some of you, like me, the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to prophesy, to preach the gospel. Me. With some of you, God has anointed you for different reasons. To build a business empire so you can support the kingdom. Some of you can even say the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to be a leader. To change my generation. Some of you don't even know why the anointing is on you. You don't even know. That's why you don't even know what to do. If you don't know why the anointing is on you, you want, number one, you don't even know. You don't even know why the anointing is upon you. Jesus understood why. Do you know why you anointed? Jesus knew why he was anointed. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to do the following. Do. He explains them. Now you, the Holy Ghost is upon you. Why? Now it's so shocking that the Holy Ghost tried showing you. He gave you an idea. He showed you a big vision. You're going to do this. So where you thought, you are thinking. That's the biggest problem. The difference between you and the people in the Bible is that the people of the Bible, when they get the idea, they will say, God spoke to me. When you get an idea, you say you are thinking. Yeah, I'm trying to talk to somebody. The people of the Bible, when they have an idea, they were saying what? When they go to a place, they said what? God told us to go there. It's written in the Bible, everyone in the Bible. They were so much attached to God that they believed. Their thinking was God talking. Their movements, it was God commanding. You, it's you who moved. I have changed my mind. I'm not going today. The people of the Bible, if they do that, they were saying, and he disobeyed God, and God punished him. I'm not talking to you. So number one, understand, why are you anointed? Why is God giving you those ideas, that project, that you are failing and struggling until you recognize that the Spirit of God has anointed you to accomplish that project, until you realize that this is supposed to be a case breaker. If I do this, no one has ever done in my family. If I do this, this will break the whole family lineage. Every case will be destroyed and everyone will become free. Some of your projects carry deliverance. When they will happen, everyone in your family will begin to follow. May you break the case in your family. Some of these cases, you will not break them with the prayer. Some of these cases will break them with action. Somebody say, break the case. And this year, I will see results. Imagine you staying in a house that nobody in your entire family, generations and generations, have never stayed it. You can now be a person who can say, when living in that house, you can now say, I break every case in my family. They will really break. But you can't be saying, I break the case in my generation. Even you are actually living in a house that it is speaking of generational case. Somebody say, I'm breaking the generational case.
I'm breaking the generational case.
We are going to see great things this year. I want you to believe it. If there's a year, I want you to believe God and see yourself moving and having no limits and boundless. It's this year. I'm telling you, this year, believe God. For those of you who want to get married, get ready. For those of you who want babies, get ready. For those of you who are looking for employments, get ready. For you who are anything, believe God. Somebody say, my capacity is big. Even in the world of worth, are you hearing me? In the world of worth, only those with the capacity are the only ones who become rich. Do you know there are four categories of worth? There is the first one, which is known as crisis. Are you hearing me? Crisis, if you look at the triangle, okay? On the triangle, if you look at the triangle of worth, there are four stages of worth. The first one is the down one, the longest one. You know the longest one on the triangle, the longest line is the one that is on the bottom. True or false? So if you're looking like this, when you're looking like that, if I put up a triangle here, if I put up a triangle here, I want you to see something here that is very important. In the mathematics, this can be long, this can be long. But I just want you to look at this. So this, it is known as the crisis in the triangle of worth. It's called the crisis. It is the first stage. This is where a person is in economic shambles, where nothing is moving. You have nowhere you can get another money. You have no place you can borrow. There is nothing you can do. You are in a financial crisis. That's the first stage. Hello? There's somebody watching me now. You're in a financial crisis. You don't even know who to talk to now. You are in problems that you don't even know. You are finished. The second stage is instability. Instability. You are not stable. Instability. Instability is when, you know, you are struggling, you make a little bit of money, and then you are back into crisis, and then you have got something like that, then you are back to crisis. So you move between, you know, like things are a little bit moving, and then you go to stability. So stability is the third one. So you move from crisis to instability, and then stability. Stability. It is where most people think they're doing well. They've got a job, they're being paid a salary, and they think they are stable. Am I talking to you? They think they're what? They are stable. Yeah. You know, they even make noise in town. You are just stable. Relax. Are you here? And then you move from that level, you go to another level, which is known as financial freedom. This is a place where you go there. Most people who are there, they have got systems and structures working for them. They have got capacity. This is not a place of survival. It's a place of capacity. Now, I was telling you this. Now, imagine in the world of wealth, there is capacity that makes people to become financially what? Free. To have financial freedom. Financial freedom, it is not when you're working for assets. It's when you create a system that assets, they work for you. God, when he saw us,
He decided to give us the anointing. To give us capacity. And we are failing. And you end up going back to the people who are not in church to borrow money. And the scripture says, when you use this anointing, you shall never borrow. The Bible says you shall lend. You will not borrow. It says people shall borrow from you. May this anointing start working for you. Come on, you are receiving. It's not loud and clear. Say, I receive. Say, the capacity in me. The Bible says when Elijah took the anointing, when he went at the river, when he touched the water what? Parted. And he walked on the dry ground. When Moses took the rod, which is the anointing, hit the water, they hit the water what? Split. Which is what? The anointing. But when your own anointing, you use it on any way, what is happening? Jesus said, the anointing of God is upon me because he has anointed me to heal the sick, to do this, to do this. And the Bible says, so mightily the Spirit of God came upon Samson that he killed 5,000 people with a bone. These guys had swords, knives, swords, 5,000 people. And the man just took a bone. When the Holy Ghost came upon him, he killed 5,000 people with a bone. Capacity of doing what the ability cannot do. When you open a small company, it becomes a multi-billion dollar project. Capacity. But because you're still in the flesh, that's what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What does it say in verse 14?
But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God.
That's it.
For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Read again. I want you to read now in NIV.
The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that comes from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to mere human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Read again that verse, verse 14.
The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit.
Now, in King James Version, it says,
but the natural man
receives not.
Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Now, imagine you are here. And you are natural.
You can't receive.
Do you know what it means to be natural? It's to use your five senses. It is when you are using your what? Like, you're making decisions. Like, you'll be seeing failure. You'll be seeing, like, it can't work. It says, if you are natural, you are very natural. You're not in the Spirit. In Message translation, it actually puts it in this way. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, the unspiritual self, just that, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There is no capacity for them. I talk about capacity. Remember when I said capacity? The anointing gives you capacity. It says, the moment you don't have the anointing, you have no capacity. It says there's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. Spirit recognizes Spirit. If you are spiritual, you will know what you carry. The reason you are scared is because you don't know what is inside of you. The reason you are stranded, you don't know what you carry. The Bible says only Spirit can know Spirit. It says,
Spirit can be known only by Spirit, God's Spirit, and our spirit is open communion. So where you are failing to know what you carry, today I want you to realize you carry the Spirit of God. Last verse, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5.
Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God.
Again.
Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God.
NIV.
Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God.
Imagine our ability. New Living Translation. We are about to make a prayer right now, wherever you are. Please, be serious and recognize the anointing you carry.
It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God.
Say, the anointing qualifies me.
The anointing qualifies me.
The anointing gives me sufficiency.
The anointing gives me sufficiency.
The anointing gives me ability. NIV speaks of competence. We are going to do things that when people begin to look at them and they say, how did you do it? You will say, my sufficiency comes from God. My competence. Because it will not be understandable. The way people know you and the things you will achieve, they will say, how? And you will say, my ability, my capacity, the anointing. Say with me, the anointing.
The anointing.
Say it again. Say the anointing.